Okay. We do those every 2 weeks. We're ending near the end of the cycle, but our next one, our next PLC is going to be May 23rd, same time, same place. If you have not, if you don't get notes or you're new to the program and someone said, gee, you ought to call in for this half-hour call, just send your contact information to Heather, and she'll give you her contact information in a second. And what we do is we talk about different topics every other week, and we also have an all-grantee meeting. Well, let me turn this over to Heather to give us some news from Washington. Of course, today we're going to be talking about the new grantees that were just funded. We're going to be talking about, which is a little bit of a repeat of the last PLC, but we're going to talk about what happens if you didn't make the cut, what happens if you did, and if we have time, well, this session and next session, we're going to be talking about placement and placing your graduates and tricks and hints to think about. Well, Heather, why don't you give us a rundown of what's going on? I know you just did a session in Puerto Rico talking about opportunities that HMTRI has for them.
Yes, absolutely. We just yesterday we did a virtual, so we used Skype to lead a virtual session in Puerto Rico with something that's going on down there right now with Region 2. And just to really kind of highlight some of the different things we can offer at HMTRI for potential grantees. So from the HQ side of stuff, not a ton of things. You saw the big announcement that went out yesterday with, or the other day, talking about the new grantees, and congratulations to the ones who were awarded for the fiscal year 18 grants. So headquarters did want to let you guys know, though, that if your proposal was not funded, please go ahead and contact your regional coordinator to gain insights on how to strengthen your proposal. And you can also stay tuned to HMTRI. We'll be walking you through that process and let you know those things as well. If you don't know who your regional coordinator is, send me an email. Or if you look at the last, towards the last pages of the notes from the PLC calls, we do have a list of all the regional coordinators there as well, with along with their contact information. You are strongly encouraged to reapply when funding becomes available, hopefully in spring 2018. If you guys remember from our discussion that we had 2 weeks ago, there will not be an RFP for this fall, but they are hoping that by next spring we'll be able to do that again. From the HMTRI side of things, I do want to once again remind you guys about our fantastic all-grantee meeting that will be occurring August 8th and 9th in Alexandria, Virginia. If you haven't yet registered for it, please send me contact information and we'll get you signed up. It's much better to register early and cancel, get your slot held, as opposed to signing up last minute. You can send me your registration information. My email address is HK as in kitten, BALLOU at EICC.edu. Again, that's HKBALLOU at EICC.edu. And again, you'll see that information in the session notes as well. Last week, we also sent out a scan out to the listserv. And so what we asked to do is to get your feedback on things you would like to see at the all-grantee meeting. We wanted to be able to use that information to help us create an agenda that's as impactful to you guys as the grantees as we possibly could. If you have not responded back to that, please do so. I will send out a reminder email to the listserv here later on today. It's just, I think it's been taking people about 3 minutes. But it's very, very quick, but it provides us with really excellent information that we can use to create a better meeting for everybody.
Okay.
All right, Mike, I think that's all I have on my end.
Okay. A couple of things. We're doing a couple of scans. One is a scan to decide what people want to have on the agenda, the all-grantee meeting, August 8th and 9th. And for those of you who may be new to this call, if you participate or on the PLC list, you're invited to it. It's a free conference. The only caveat is you have to get to Alexandria and get home and maybe have some dinners. We have working lunches. And so the only meals you'd have to pay for really is dinners. It's going to be in downtown Alexandria. And again, if you're new to the call, just send your contact information to Heather and tell her you would like to sign up for the conference. In fact, I could attach to the notes. We send out quite a few of them. Many of you may have gotten several of these. We like to get people registered early. And Heather, when does the hotel registration close? In a month or two?
Yes, it's somewhere in like the middle of June, I believe. I'm sorry, I don't have the date quite pulled up here, but I can get it in just a moment.
It creeps up fast, and we try to get 100% of the grantees there. We have alumni there. If your grant was not accepted this round, we especially want you there. We have about 150 people there. At any one time, there's about 50 active grantees, and the rest of the people are EPA people. The regional coordinators are all there. Assistant administrator comes. We have panels of graduates and students, people who employ. We have a lot of breakout sessions. There's two intense days of just doing nothing about except talking about hints and tips, pretty much what we do here. But it's an open discussion, so we just network and share ideas. And if you weren't accepted, we especially want you to come, because those people who showed the desire to spend the months it takes to develop one of these grants deserves to find out what they may need to do better to get funded the next time. These grants are fairly competitive, and EPA, when they talk, will say they're very competitive. The grants breakdown was, of course, 17. There were $3.3 million, and they give it all out. Worked out someone, one of the grantees just didn't ask for the full $200,000, but they were able to give out 17 grants. Pretty much true to the form, about half of them were what I call re-ups. These were people who had grants. One of the conversations we had, a discussion in a PLC, was if you've got a grant, you've got a competitive advantage, but you do. But that doesn't preclude you from getting a grant, and it could be one of the reasons they put a checkbox in there, have you ever had a grant before, because they do consider special situations. If you may not have ever had one of these grants before, you may not have the depth of experience or partners that someone who's been doing it for 5 or 10 years has. So in this case, this year, 9 were what I call re-ups. Of those 9, 7, you can't apply if you had received money in the previous year. You certainly are encouraged to apply if you applied and didn't get a grant. So these are 3-year grants, which means that in this case, if you received a grant in 2015 or 2016, you are able to apply for 2018. If you, of course, if you didn't receive a grant in 17, you're also eligible to apply. So that gives you 2 shots at it. If you wanted to, let's consider you want to have continuous funding and keep rolling without any interruption of federal support. And of course, this program was set up to try to get everyone, as one of the regional coordinators said, we don't want a few people hogging all the food all the time. So we like to encourage new grantees. And sometimes it could work against you if you've had several of these grants. But in this year, if you look at the grantees, about 7 of them were eligible to write. They were 2016, so they were in their second year of their grant. 2 of them, of the 9, were in their 3rd year of grant. So those 2, if they would not been refunded, they would have had to sustain themselves for a while, so until the next round. And we'll talk about that in a second. Then we had 5 new grants, and that was kind of neat. And there are people, just about everyone who is funded is in the PLC. Doesn't mean that they attend every session, but they've on our PLC list, they get the notes and they come in and out of the PLC. So almost 16 of the 17 are PLC members, which was pretty encouraging for us. Ironically, I live in North Carolina. The only one that was a PLC member was one right down the road from me in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. But all the rest are PLC members, and we appreciate that they have attended our sessions. We had three of the 17 who were previous grantees but didn't receive their funding after the third year and waited out and were in and out. In fact, one of them, St. Nick's Parish, has been in and out several times. They were an early grantee, lost their funding. They didn't get refunded, waited a couple years. They applied. They still weren't funded. A year or two later, they were funded. And then they went for a while, and they weren't funded, and then they refunded. And I really like St. Nick's. We've known them for a long time. They do an excellent job. And what I'm getting at is you could have an excellent program and do good work. And in the case, the sad part of these grants are we had many really good grantees that originally were funded in 2015, and they weren't re-upped this year, which means they're going to have to sustain themselves for a little bit until the next RFP comes around. And that's one of the things I want to talk about today. So to give you an overview, we had these 17 funded. About half, a little more than half, were previous grantees that were eligible to reapply. About eight of them were people who were new. Of those new, five were brand new, and then another three were in our program and then were not in the program and then came back in the program. So they had funding gaps from EPA for several years. So it was a nice distribution. And reviewing the grants that were awarded, I really thought they were all good. We're familiar with almost all the programs because we've worked with them. And I can't say that there's not a program, there's a program in here that didn't deserve to be funded. There was an excellent selection. The sad part of this, of course, is that when I look at the list of 2015 grantees who will be winding down their program, there are many, many excellent programs here that will have to use a strategy. If they want to continue this program with federal funding, they're going to have to try to hold over till next spring. As Heather indicated, because of the omnibus bill and the compromises that were going on in funding, while the Brownfields job training program appears to be safe, they did EPA evidently in their budget negotiations needed to skip this FY19 RFP that would normally come out in November. So what they decided to do is let's skip over the November request for proposals and let's move it into spring of 19. So that would be next spring. So instead of having to prepare your proposal for November and December, what they're doing is they're going to be asking people, the RFP will come out in the spring of next year. And the reason they're doing that, it's kind of finessing the budgets. If you submit in the spring of next year, by the time it takes 3 months to review it, and by the time the awards go out, it'll be the next fiscal year. It won't be FY19. It'll now be FY20. So they'll have a refreshed budget, and they'll make those awards in October, say, of 2020, and then they'll continue. What they suggest is that would only delay getting to the next tranche of training only about 4 or 5 months. So it'll lessen the impact of not having a cycle this November. So what we're going to be focusing on in coming months and at the all grantee meeting is getting people maneuvered, one, to submit in a new proposal for funding in spring of next year. And then we're going to be talking about sustainability a lot. We're going to be talking about how to improve your partnerships. And we'll also, I'm sure, be discussing some carryover funding. How can you go about extending what funds you have and maybe partnering up with other people? So again, congratulations to all of you who were funded. Those of you who are not funded, let's talk a little bit about this. You want to keep your team together. What's important, and different people do it different ways. If you're a grantee who works with a larger organization, you have some advantages. Perhaps your mother organization or father organization that you belong to will carry you over. You may, if you've exhausted the EPA funds, you may be able to extend some of the EPA funds you have. And if you are in that situation, I would talk to your regional coordinator. If you have funds, see if you could carry them over into the next year and use those funds at no cost to the government. Whether or not that's possible or whether your budget allows it is another matter. But what you may also be able to do is go to the parent organization that you're working with and say, here we are, we're in a third year. I don't know how much we could extend our grant with federal funds. What can we do within our organization? Maybe we need to reduce the number of cohorts. We want to keep the program together. We want to keep our partners together and strengthen them. So what can we do between now and October of 2020? What can we do to extend our training offer, maybe not all the classes, some of them, maybe reduced. Maybe we could offer all of them. And what would your budget require to do that? And by the thing about it, if you're not funded or currently getting EPA funding, you're not committed to the deliverables of the grant. So you could keep your program going, keep your trainers on board. You can keep your recruitment practices. Maybe instead of having three cohorts or even four, you might have one or two. You might be able to just hold on for a little bit. You may be able to integrate into the program. In fact, the program you're part of, if you've joined a bigger program, might say, heck, we will apply for it when we're eligible again, but I think this is such a good service for us that we'll continue. Some programs may end up going fee for service for a little while. In other words, they may have such a good HAZWOPR program started that they're going to say, well, what we're going to do is we want to keep our team together. And we want to offer, maybe what we'll do is offer HAZWOPR, the OSHA 19-10-120, and maybe we'll offer OSHA 10. Those are the kind of the money courses, maybe confined space, depends on where you're at. And maybe we'll do a charge for that, for several cohorts. What would be really neat about that is if you did resubmit, you'd basically have maybe two programs going. You might have a federally funded program, and then you might have a fee-for-service program. So you could branch off by what you're able to do with the EPA funds. You could branch off and start a whole new session, a free-for-service or courses as they fill up. Often what you might do is open a course up, and when you get enough people signed up, if 20 or 10, whatever you need, go ahead and offer it. You've got your contractors, your trainers are all set up. So just go for that. And then as you approach as we go through the year, you could then start writing your grant. And you're going to have a lot more experience than you've ever had. And you could, of course, get new partners if you need them. You could strengthen your program. We've actually had programs that didn't need EPA funds anymore. They went off on their own, and they did just fine. That was actually the real intent of the EPA program, to get people started and let them go on. Another thing you might want to consider is looking at some of the other agency programs. And those might be federal programs, or they may be state or regional. They may even be local. And what I would do in all these cases, you want to start making some announcements. And what we tell people, whether you're funded or unfunded, sit down. First, you've got to sit down and talk to the administrator, make sure he got the notices, whatever, positive or negative. Then get your internal staff together, and whether the administrator wants to be there or not is up to, it would be good if he could be. Here we are. Here's our situation. We either just got funded or we just didn't get funded. What do we need to do to go from here? And what can we do? And how, if we're not funded, how can we organize? If we're funded, what we need to do is we need to go back and start checking all our deliverables. You got to pull that grant out. It's been a while, and say, okay, what did we promise? Now we may be our worst nightmare. We just got funded. Now what do we do? You've got to go back to your trainers, and if you've got them on board, you've got to say, okay, we're going to be developing the schedule, or here's the schedule. You've got to go back and look at your target group. You're going to have to look at your partners and say, we got the grant. But do this internally first so your act is all together, and just say, okay, here we are. Let's scope out all of our deliverables that we're going to have to provide. Let's see where we are regarding other leverage partnerships. See where we are regarding our curriculum. Let's look at our target group and see if it's changed. And the reason you're going to have to do that is the most important thing, if you've been funded, is you're going to have to do a work plan with the regional coordinator. You'll be getting pretty soon a package. And because you were just announced that you received an award, doesn't mean the money's going to start flowing right away. It takes a couple of months to do that. And before you could do that, you have to develop a work plan and get everything in line with the grants office. And when I talk about work plan, if there's going to be revisions, whether it's people that are going to be doing the work or leverage partners or your target group or your curriculum, a good time to do that is now. And this is why you want to have this internal meeting. Do we want to, are courses really still relevant? The course we were proposing and the grant isn't relevant in our target group, as we went on and talked to more people. So this is a good time to work with your regional coordinator and do a mid-course maneuver and say, basically our grant and budget's intact, but we would like you to consider us, let us tweak this a little bit. Once you get that work plan going, you don't have as much flexibility as you do now. So you want to have this internal meeting if you're funded, and if about where you're going from now. Are you going to go out for RFPs for your contractors? Or if your contractor, your training contractors are on board and consultants, are you going to go back to them and start talking to them about exact scheduling and what kind of classes you're going to have and when and what you're going to train? And if you are not funded, you want to talk to your administrator and say, is there a way we can keep intact our infrastructure and our trainers and our organization, and what do we have to do in terms of cutting back? Because we do anticipate an RFP next spring. So what we'd like to do is take all the hard work we did and then apply that. Is Janet on the call? I don't know if she is. Janet out of Santa Fe, they had applied, and then they received funding last year. They kind of went silent for several years and then came back on and well, you received the grant last year. Talked to them a lot about that. They said, well, actually, it worked out well for us because we were able to get our equipment, our trainers, we were getting our infrastructure on board, and then we kind of sat dormant. I think they did some contract training, strengthened their program, and then they came back in for an EPA program. So for those of you who are not funded, that's something to keep in mind. For those of you who were first-time grantees, have never written a grant before, this is a great opportunity to talk to your regional coordinator and come to the all-grantee meeting, because you're going to find, and stay on the PLC calls, this is a great time to find out what EPA expected out of these grants and what your perception of writing this grant was. These grants are much harder to write than an academic grant. An academic grant, if you're in a ballpark, I mean, you're either, it's either funding or not funding. This is a cooperative agreement grant, and EPA wants every dot, every period, every capitalized T. They want everything laid out so that they know that if you follow this, what's in your grant, and you deliver what you promised to deliver, they're going to have a successful program. So your expectations of how this grant may have been evaluated may be different than the way it actually is. So you may need to get this review from EPA that says, well, you need to beef up your partners, you need more partners, or you need more leveraging, or you won't be able to offer these courses the way you've proposed them, or this is unrealistic, or you just don't have the experience, and you may have to partner with someone who's been in the social services, a WIB, or a social services organization, or perhaps they might suggest, or we might talk about that in a PLC or at the All Grantee meeting, perhaps you may want to consider bringing your proposal to a community college to give you some meat that you could bring into the next grant. So for those of you who have never submitted, don't just quit. I would say EPA will say that many of the grantees don't get it the first year. They usually get it the second and sometimes the third. They say that that first year is sometimes kind of a new one. Is Recycle on the grant, on the call? Okay. Recycle Force was a great example. They were pretty new, but they came to the grantee meeting. They may have written a grant and got unaccepted, but they came to the all grantee meeting. They came to PLCs. They worked really hard, got really involved, and they were funded right out of the box. They must have written a great grant. So these are ideas to think about if you're funded or whether you're not funded. Keep your team together. You may want to consider joining forces with either a community college or a bigger organization. If you've been funded for a long time, and we've got many like that, and you weren't funded, it's probably because of the competition was graded on the curve. And so the top nine of old grantees were funded. Now, when I say the top nine were funded, it was the top nine proposals. Unfortunately, they don't do site visits, and the readers don't really get a chance to get into your program and see all the great things you're doing. And that's unfortunate. And often when someone who is really good, and many of these I see on the list that were not funded, they're really good programs, there just wasn't enough money. My hope is that over this next year, we're going to get EPA to put more into it. Since they skipped this one cycle, maybe they'll be able to fund more grants. But we had many really good ones. And for them, my only hope is that they can keep their program together, either with some shared funding or joining up or kind of going on a reduced level or morphing a little bit into smaller classes, perhaps less deliverables, less course offerings, that type of thing, and while they're doing that, they can enhance their proposal and go in for the spring RFP. So once you do your internal meetings, you then have to go out and talk to the partners, and this is really important. You have to go back to those partners, and depending on what we just talked about, you have to decide, do we want to keep our team together? And what I would really suggest is, we didn't get accepted. The competition was unbelievable. We didn't get funded on this round, but we're planning on going another one. Can you stay in the team and have some regular meetings? Because we're going to stay in line with what's going on. We're going to stay informed, and we'd like to keep the team together. Perhaps you could help us with expanding our program. So that's when you go out to your partners and thank them for your support. Tell them you're going to need it again, because you're going to go in for a re-up. You're dedicated to this. Certainly go into the mayor's office. And these are difficult things, but the way you soften it is, if you've been working with the mayor's office, say, It was extremely competitive. We didn't get it this round. We still want to develop a job training program. Can you stay with us? You may be incredibly surprised that they may say, well, we got a little money that we can give you. And that has happened. And so by going back and saying, we're still committed to this, our community needs it, or we wouldn't have been doing it in the first place, is there another place we can get some resources? And they may say, we've got some discretionary money, or we're going to link you up with this other agency. I think you could fit in with this WIB that we have, and they can give you some money, or they may have some discretionary. There might be a community organization that you could join. It might be they might know of a youth build or a Conservation Corps program they're funding, or it might be a community college that's been doing environmental training, or they may say, we've got a community-based organization that's they're private, they're CDCs, community development corporations that are established to help and develop the communities. And they might say, we suggest you join that. Or something like St. Nick's Parish, which is a local community organization, and they do all kinds of things for the community. And they're not doing environmental training, job training right now, but we suggest maybe you join them and maybe train to 1910-120 and maybe confined space and maybe OSHA 10 and keep your program going. So that's probably on the encouraging side that I would suggest you all doing. Does anyone have any comments about this whole grant process? We all wish it was bigger, but it's not. We could fund another 10 programs easily, and they would all be good. So,
Mike, I have a question.
Yes.
This is Deborah Love. I know they are moving it to the spring as far as the RFP coming out for the next round. Will they award like in September of that same year? Or will
what they're
going to
do?
Over?
Right. All they're doing, the federal government has their fiscal year is September 31 to September 31. So what basically happened is this job training program, they did not give them the money to mount a decent program in FY19. Okay, so that means from this September to next September, they didn't have the funds to support grants. But they will have funds after September 31st, which is the next fiscal year.
Right.
So,
okay.
In other words, so the way they're hoping to finesse this is you ask for proposals in spring of 2019. That's this next spring. You do all the prep work still in the old fiscal 19, but then you don't award the money until 20. So you're going to award the money in October of 19. It's
okay,
kind of a little confusing because of the way the fiscal years go. You know, if you keep in mind that the fiscal year is September 31 to September 31. So right now we're in fiscal 18.
Do you think this will give them an opportunity to offer more grants, the number of grants?
I'm hoping. One thing I have to say about Dave and that group is they're very savvy. They've always been savvy. And we'll probably find out at all grantee meeting what happened, why they decided what they decided. They've been talking about this for a while. And one thing I heard a while ago, this was, I think, around the other all grantee meeting, was there was some discussion of maybe having a bigger program and or else doing it every 2 years. When you do these grants, it's a lot of work. And to give out 14 grants, you know, it takes the same effort, not a whole lot more effort to give away 20 grants. So I'm encouraged. The only reason I would not be encouraged is all the political stuff we're hearing, you know. The good thing is the Brownfields bill passed, the Build Act, and so the programs are authorized. It's a matter of funding them.
Right. And also, if I could add one thing, from experience that we have had with another federally funded program, whether or not the appropriations for the grants change, there are also administrative changes that will affect the funding. For instance, there's one agency, I won't name, Fish and Wildlife, which any grant over, I believe, $98,000 is going to be put under review, which basically freezes them. And so a lot of their large grants, what they're doing is they're going to divide it up into smaller chunks, and that just kind of changes the operations. Or some people might be frozen out entirely.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Going way back to Linda Grzynski's days in EPA, she wanted to keep this program under the radar so no one would know about it, basically. It just ran and did good things. They always wanted to keep it small, and they always wanted the grantees to have some meat in the game as far as these all-grantee meetings and things. So they tried to keep a real trim program that kind of just flowed. And they're very savvy that way. And one good thing about the Brownfields bill, and we're still looking at details of that, but you're going to be able to also charge indirect costs, which currently under the old bill, you could not charge indirect costs. This would be extra, like a profit margin or extra money for the organization that was above and beyond the grant. So there are some positives. The only negative at this point that I see is there's a four-month delay grant in the grant, and it'll, you know, everyone's going to have to hold off or just kind of ride through an extra 4 months. They're hoping that may not even affect the training cycles that much, because if you were awarded a grant in October, usually the training cycle might start in November, December for a spring placement. We're just starting the spring placement cycle now, you know, in the early, except if you're in a southern climate, that's not true. But if you're in a northern climate, the hiring will start, you know, March. So you could conceivably get an October award and do a cohort in November, December. So there's a possibility. There's still a lot that we have to see what happens, but see how it goes. For those who are not funded or are not eligible, I really like the idea of if you can either go do some for-profit work or just offer limited courses. If you do, we see so many grantees, if they offer 1910-120, which is HAZWOPR, OSHA 10, or they may be linked up with many of our programs that have construction programs, you've got the bones for a full-blown program. And of course, people like R. Chanks, they've got full construction programs. So whether or not they were funded, and they are funded now, but if they were funded, they could continue their program without a blink of an eye, because they could offer some essential courses, wrap it into their construction program, and then pull it back out whenever they wanted to. So that's, if you could link up with a construction program, that's ideal. Or even a community college construction program or a WIB construction program, and you would be offering some environmental remediation courses. They're really closely related. Any other questions? Any questions? Well, our next PLC is going to be May 23rd, and we're moving into this placement period, so we're going to be talking about placing graduates you might have and different hints and tips and placement strategies. And, of course, whatever questions you might have, send them to Heather, HKBalu@EICC.edu. Thanks, everybody, for attending. Any other questions before
we
leave?
Okay. Only one to chime in. This is Frederick Baker from St. Nick's. Thanks for saying so many great things about us.
I'll tell you, St. Nick's is one of my favorite programs. And over the years, I've been with them a long time.
Great.
Through the PLC. And I've been heartbroken when you weren't funded.
Right. We got it just the other day. So we're very excited.
Congratulations. And
yes, thank
I'm
you.
Sure
thank
we'll
you
be
much.
Seeing you at the All Grantee meeting. Did you get all the info to sign up for the All Grantee meeting?
I know Larry, our director, has it all. So he and I have spoken
it.
About it once or twice. I don't know who will be going. I imagine it'll be Larry. He knows so much more about this. I'm new in this role. So
tell him pass on our congratulations.
Thank you, I will. Okay, bye-bye.
Anyone
now.
Else?
I just wanted to say a quick thank you to the whole learning community and the stuff, the materials that you put together, the hints and tips, because I can't take credit for program staff doing good work to establish a solid track record, but all the other stuff about need, labor market information, et cetera, the strength of that comes from things that I learned from the guides that you guys put out, so... Thank
That's
you
great.
Much.
I'm really happy to hear that. And, you know, stay with us. You're a program that I really like, because mostly because of all the other things you do for people. There's about three programs like yours that are special. And I think they're different. They're not our normal type, you know, train and place. You're providing the whole thing, and that's a great program. So
and you know, with some other funding opportunities for disaster affected areas and some new technology stuff that we're doing, we're kind of hoping to be able to add some innovative training things that will, you know, help us stay competitive, but also give us better results for placements and stuff.
Right. You know, that's true.
We haven't been doing disaster tech, which we really need to.
You know, there's nothing that says you can do a lot of things if you're not supported with this grant supports certain types of training. But that doesn't mean you can't provide other training on a leverage basis. Mm-hmm. And, certainly the construction areas. Now, yours would be – that would be a whole new thing for you, I guess. But – you know, if you look at a program like ARTS, they evolve from construction, but they offer the whole thing in terms of construction, and there's lots of construction jobs, and but you do have to build a facility for that, you know, or have some training facilities. But it integrates really well with environmental training, certainly. If you find an employer that needs people, say a tank manufacturer needs, I need confined space and I need HAZWOPer, you go for those courses, you know, whether or not EPA will support them or not. You know, it's a great way to expand your program. And I think your target group is fantastic, and it fits into some of these courses very well.
Well, thanks a lot.
Good luck.
Have a good rest of your day.
Same to you.
Okay, take care.
Talk to you all soon. Uh-huh.